How many have your Bibles this morning? Good showing. All right. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We sort of had a, I don't know that you'd call it an event, but it's an event that happens every year. About 2 weeks ago. Anybody know what happened at midnight? New Year's. What does New Year's mean? It's a new year. It's a brand new year. Now, sure, it's just another date on a calendar, but it's how we reference things. It's how we keep track of how old we are, when our birthdays are, when our kids' birthdays are, when our anniversaries are. Some of us keep track of that. How many have ever forgotten an anniversary? No one's raising their hand because they don't want to get killed. Galatians chapter 6. I had fortunately decided, kind of felt like this is what I wanted to preach on like about a week and a half ago or so when Pastor said that he had to be gone. And so I knew I was going to be preaching. So we did this in youth one night. So this is one of our kind of youth lessons. And I thought, man, I really would like to share that with the adults. And then Pastor said, well, I got to be gone. And I said, well, that would be perfect. And fortunately, because we just got back last night from Minneapolis from the hospital and, you know, drove in a blizzard all the way. And so I wouldn't have had time. You would have got some leftovers from 3 years ago or something. But God's good like that. He can see the future. He's not too shaken up by it. And so what we're talking about today is one of those, you guys ever have something kind of a problem, not really, problem's too strong of a word, something you're trying to work through and you can't quite get the answer, you can't quite get to the end, and you're like, I need to talk to somebody about this. And so you're kind of trying to straighten out your facts, whatever it might be about. It might be about fixing something, it might be about a life issue, whatever it's about. You're like, I need to sort through this. And so you sit down with somebody, and you've been wrestling with this maybe for a week, maybe a couple months. You know, sometimes I'll wrestle with things, you know, for 6-8 months. And you turn it over in your head, not all the time, but every once in a while, and you're trying to resolve it. And so you sit down to talk with somebody that you think might be able to help you, and the first 3 minutes into the conversation, you hear yourself talking and you figure out the answer. Have you ever done that? Like, as soon as you say it out loud, you're like, oh, that's it. I just needed to hear myself say it. Have you ever been there? Raise your hand. Have you experienced that? It's like there's something about you kind of come to the pinnacle and then you speak it out, and you're explaining it, and so someone else needs to hear what's in your head, right? So you kind of got to sort through the thoughts, and you've got to get them to understand what's in here. As you do that, you kind of untangle the spaghetti and you're like, oh, that's it. Well, this is kind of one of those for me. As I, you know, we're talking about growth. It's a brand new year and we're going to talk about growth. Say growth. And I've kind of struggled with some growth issues just in my own life. And it's one of those that I'm really excited about because it's the same principle. As you work through those things, that's why I like Wednesday nights, you know, in the youth room and around the table here, as you talk stuff out, it just, not only do you get wisdom from other people talking, but you get wisdom from hearing your own self talk. You know, it makes more sense. And so I'm excited about that for my own self, because as you talk about this, as I hear myself say it, hopefully God's anointing it, and it makes a little more sense. And so I'm excited about it for me. I should buy the tape and listen to myself preach it back. Or go online at cocfamily.com, click on listen now, go to my podcast, and you can hear it. Galatians chapter 6. Verse number 4. This might seem like an odd kind of a verse, but trust me, this is going to fit. This is going to fit. It says this: each one of you should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Well, what in the world does that have to do with growth? It's the principle. The principle is this. There's another verse that says, he who compares himself with another is not wise. You need to set landmarks for yourself. Mile markers. You ever go down the interstate? I was on a bus trip. I took a Greyhound bus when I was just out of college. And I went from Virginia. I went from by Norfolk, Tabb, Virginia to Webster on a Greyhound bus. And a lady forgot her purse or something, and so we missed our connection. And so I had, I think, a 7-hour layover in Chicago at 2 in the morning. And so we went walking downtown Chicago, because if you've ever been to the bus deal, it's right. I mean, it's right there. And I was with these guys, big guys. They had just gotten out of the military. And so they're like, let's go walk around. Yeah, see what we can see, you know. And so we go walking downtown Chicago. I wouldn't recommend it. And, you know, I'm fresh out of hometown USA, and I saw stuff. I was like, whoa, we shouldn't be here. But I was walking in between those guys. I felt kind of safe. And so I get so sidetracked. That's awesome. It has nothing to do with anything. So anyway, exactly. So it ended up being like a 64-hour bus ride. 64 hours from Virginia to Webster. It was terrible. Had a 15-hour layover in Minneapolis. So anyways, we're driving down this interstate, and so I suppose I'm 18 or 19 at this time, and I'm not always the most observant in growing up and getting stuff. And so I happen to be sitting by a trucker. And so we're going down the interstate or going down the road or whatever it is, and the little green signs that have numbers on them, I had no clue what those were. And so I happened to make the comment. I'm like, why do they put those stupid numbers? Like every so often, you just see numbers. And of course, the trucker's giggling, you know. And he said, well, they're mile markers. Okay, well, let's give this mile a name. Woohoo! That's dumb. Who cares if you go? Okay, I went a mile. There's another mile. All right, big deal. He said, no, it's a reference point. He said, if you look at that mile marker, you know how many miles you are from this border or from that border. And he said, if you know the exit that is coming up, you know how many miles you are from that exit or from that town or wherever it is. I said, ah, sensei. The light's coming on. So there was markers. So you could know where you're at. So if you're walking down this stretch of road, we were coming back last night and it was a blizzard and, you know, for stretches, and you just didn't know where you were at. And so I couldn't watch the road. I could see, because, you know, up about 12 feet or so, it kind of cleared off, and I could see the tops of the telephone poles. So I was driving by watching the tops of the telephone poles. Again, wouldn't recommend that. But you had no reference point on the ground. You couldn't see, you know, the snow's blowing across, and so you wanted to turn, you know, to kind of follow the snow, and we would have ended up in the ditch. But I knew that the telephone poles were relatively straight, and so I was watching those. And, you know, when we get through those little stretches, it's a reference. Say reference. A reference point. And that's what Galatians is talking about here, saying compare yourself with yourself. Not just to say, oh, look at how good I've become now. That's not what it's talking about at all. It's saying you should have a reference point in your life. And as you're moving along, you should be growing. And so we ask the kids, you know, are you different now than you were a year ago? And if the answer is yes, is it good? Is it a good difference? Have you grown in the last year? And so kind of the beginning of the new year is a time when people make New Year's resolutions. And do you know why most of them don't work out? Because there's no plan behind them. It's something that we know. It's a new year. Okay, here's what I don't like about my life. Let's change it. And we think we can change it by emotion. And so we just get all excited about changing it. And 8 weeks later, the emotion's gone. And so we just kind of go back to what we usually do. But we should have these reference points in our life. And that's what Galatians is saying, is that as you go along, you should be growing. You should be different tomorrow than you are today. You should be different a week from now than you are today. Might be a tiny bit. It might be a fraction. It might be one minuscule thing that doesn't mean anything to anybody, but you know that God has helped you conquer that area, or God has given you insight into that, or God has helped you to help someone else to do something, or you've stretched somewhere. You should be growing. You should be able to reference backwards. And we get so scared about saying, oh, look what I've done. The Bible says that you should be able to look at what I've done, not for pride's sake, because the Bible clearly condemns that. But you should be able to say, look what I've done, for the sake of saying, look at how far I've got to go. Okay? We can look backwards and we can look at our progress, because we know that we're not going to reach it. If we're all clear on the fact that we're not going to arrive, we're not going to have reason to be boastful until we get to heaven. Right? Okay? You got it? Is that clear? Once you establish that fact, then there's nothing wrong with looking back, because we know, hey, I'm never going to, you know, until I take my last breath, until I'm with Jesus, there's always more to work on. There's always more growth. Say, there's always more growth. There's always more areas that you can grow in. So it's not a deal of, oh man, look at, I've kind of finally gotten here. And Pastor talks about that. And so I kind of had this growth thing all picked out. And if you weren't here last week, or if you don't remember, if you listened to go out in the podcast, about the first 11 minutes of his message last week was all on growth. And it was all talking about kind of, it could have been an introduction for this message. And I thought, well, God, you really do know what's going on. Like he didn't. If you would turn backwards, we've got a few verses to look at today. To Ephesians, I guess, forward. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, so you say growth. Well, what exactly does that mean? How am I supposed to be growing? Some of us are growing in ways we don't want to be growing. We should be growing. We should be changing. We should be able to have like those mile markers, like those reference points, those telephone poles. We should be able to see that we've moved. And you know, I recommitted my life to the Lord back in, I think it was 1993. And that just seems like a little bit ago. But gosh, what is that, like 16 years now? I mean, it just, time goes by. And I know some of you were saved before that. So that's a lot. But you're old in Jesus. I'm not saying you're old, but you know, You've lived this thing out a while. Here's the problem. When you're new in Christ, there's everything to learn. Okay? You open up your Bible, never saw that before. It's real easy, isn't it? And there's revelation all the time. And God gives you an extra special grace, I believe. But besides that, there's just so much out there that you just didn't know. As you get older in Christ and you get more mature in Christ and you've just put your time in, hey, listen, it's really easy to go through a year in Christ and not have changed. Listen, look at me. Everyone, give me your attention. It is really easy for those of you that have been saved for more, raise your hand if you've been saved for more than 5 years. More than 5 years. Most of the church. If you've been saved for more than 5 years, it's really easy to shift her into automatic and coasting down the road. It's hard to keep growing. It's hard to keep growing, and you'll end up growing in ways that you don't want to grow spiritually. You'll degrow. That's the new word for today. I started to say something else, and it came out degrow. You'll degrow. You'll regress. You'll regress. You need to be growing. You need to be moving forward. Those numbers on the mile markers should be going up, not down. You shouldn't be saying things. Now listen, there's seasons. We all go through seasons. Don't you ever get negative in yourself because you're going through a desert time where God seems really distant, or you're walking through times where there's struggles and problems. Oh, I must not be as spiritual as I used to be. Don't you ever think that. But listen, you should be pushing yourself, and you should be challenging yourself, and you should be growing, and you should see those mile markers. Because if you drive down the highway, scenery is not all the same, is it? Well, unless you're in a stretch where it is, but mostly it's not. If you drive all the way across the country... Did you get that? I was kind of deep there for a second. Didn't know if you followed that or not. But if you're driving across the country and you can stay on the same stretch of road, which might be hard to do, but you'd go along for a while and it'd be flat. And then you'd go through places where it'd be little hills. And then you might go through a place where you'd be going along a river. There might be a place where you're going through high mountains. Or you might go through places where it's lush and green and there's life all around. Or you might go through places, you know, the Badlands or something, where there's just nothing, through deserts. Even physically, even in our world physically, as you go along, there's different stages or different things you go through. But you should still be ticking off the miles. You should still say, I'm different. Things have changed, but we shouldn't say, oh, remember when we used to be so hungry for God? Oh, remember when God used to be doing things in our life? Now, there's seasons when it seems like he's not. But if you're still pressing into him, you're still growing, okay? We're going to go through these verses really quick and just see what does the Bible tell us to grow in? How does if we're going to really look at Scripture, what does God tell us about it? How am I supposed to grow? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. That's what Pastor was talking about last week. If you listen to the first couple minutes of his message last week, he was talking about you cut the head off. He was talking about cutting heads off chickens and stuff. And that's what he was talking about. Do you know what that verse is telling you? Okay, so stop and think about it. Jesus is the head. We're supposed to grow up into him who is the head. So initially, like for a while, I kind of, you know, I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about that verse, but it just seemed to me in passing over that verse, I'll grow up into him who's the head. Okay, well, as long as I'm part of the body, I'm connected to the head, you know, I'm kind of growing up, you know, like it's kind of done. You know, I'm there, I'm growing into the head. That's not what it's talking about. Listen, you'll grow up into him who's the head. Say, head, what position is that? That's the top position. It's the lordship position. So here's what this means. In 2009, I was going to say 1999. In 2009, off by a decade, 2009, set some mile markers and look back a year and say, today, or look forward a year and say, a year from now, am I going to have Jesus have more lordship, more headship, more topness in my life, or am I going to be struggling to do what I want to do? Didn't think of it that way, did you? I didn't. That's one way that we grow. And a lot of times we'll say it this way here. We'll say, you know, have you given over more of your life? Have you opened up more places in your heart for him? You know, we'll phrase it in ways like that, but here's what it's talking about. You'll grow up more into him who's the head. He's the boss. He's got the plan. Are we struggling to find our plan for the day? Are we constantly fighting for what we want? Or in 2009, are we growing by, you know what? There's been 4 days this week that I've started off this day by saying, God, I want your will today, not mine. See, Jesus was mature and he sat in the garden. He had grown into this. This wasn't natural for him. You can tell it wasn't natural by the blood veins bursting in his head, bleeding drops of blood. That's how you know it wasn't natural. But he said, I'm gonna grow into my head, God. He's ruler over me, and it's his plan. And he sat in the garden. He said, I don't want to do this, but not my will, but your will be done. That's growth. He had to grow into that. Okay? How are we growing into that? Is there things God's speaking into your life you know he wants you to do? Is there verses that you read really fast over because you know they really step on your toes? It's God's lordship in your life. Is there parts that you're just hanging back? God, I know that you love me. You know, and that's not a foreign topic to us. We don't need to spend a lot of time on that, and we're running out of time. But it's growing in lordship. And maybe you didn't know that you could grow in lordship. But he can take over more areas of your life. And that's one way of growth. The Bible talks about it. Look at Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. I'll go over this list at the end, and you might want to write them down and every so often read through that and say, all right, what's my mile markers at? Am I growing in these areas? Or am I just exactly the same as I was? Do I need to change something? Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10 says this, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Growing in the knowledge of, do you know more about God today than you did before? Do you know him? Have you spent time with him? Listen, no condemnation, please. Understand, this isn't a beat you up message. This is setting mile marker message, okay? Do you know him more today? If you could quote one verse last year, can you quote two this year? Hey, we're not asking for miracles here. Okay? Start with John 3:16. Let's see if we can go to Romans 3:23 next year. You know, hopefully we can pick up the pace a little bit. But challenge you. Do you know him more? Have you opened, like we sang that song this morning, open the eyes of my heart. Have you stopped to notice God at work? Do you know that we can miss God at work? God can be doing something right in the middle of a situation and we can just blaze right through it and we can miss. That's why Israelites would set up altars. They'd set up monuments and they'd say, we don't want to forget and we don't want to miss what God did. We want to remember that and we want to observe what God can do in these situations. Look it through your Bible and you'll find things like watch and see what God can do. And there's times that we need to watch and see what God can do so we can know him more. We know how God can work in these situations. We know Him. We know His Word. We've spent time in prayer. So a simple mile marker is this. I'm going to get really deep and really hardcore here. Have you read your Bible this week? Did everyone follow that? Okay. Did I open up my Bible and did I read a verse? Okay. If you can say yeah, then how about, you know, have we added to that? I mean, there comes to a point where you're not going to be able to read. Okay, I read 3 hours today. I'm going to read 3 hours and 15 minutes tomorrow. And eventually, you get to the point where you run out of hours in the day. That's not what we're saying. But do we know Him more? Grow in the knowledge of God. Grow in the knowledge of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but that talks about the same thing if you're writing things down. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 talks about growing in the knowledge of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Back up a little bit. You still awake? Okay. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. Verse number 15. 2 Corinthians 10:15 says, "Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith," say faith, "as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand." So Paul is writing and saying, basically, I'm expecting your faith to grow. I'm expecting your faith to grow because as your faith grows, listen to what follows that. God does more stuff. As your faith grows, God does more stuff. And it's hard for someone who's analytical like me to sort that out and say, God, why would you make it dependent upon me at times why you do stuff? Why would you make it dependent upon me to deliver your message of hope to somebody? Why would you make it dependent upon me? But He does. And Paul said, as your faith continues to grow, as you get more faith, everyone's been given faith. You all have faith. Don't say, well, you know, I don't have any. I don't have any faith. That's a lie because the Bible says you've all been given a measure of faith. Everyone's got some faith. You all have a measure of faith. If not, we can't go to heaven because you've been saved by grace through faith. You have faith that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life. So you can grow upon that. You can take your salvation. You can say, okay, I've got faith. I have trust and belief and hope that when I close my eyes, breathe my last breath, that Jesus really can get me to heaven. That Jesus isn't going to be sitting up in heaven saying, come on, I know you can make it. Oh, look, oh no, the devil got that one. Oh, he was on his way too. Angels had him in that little carriage. They were coming up to heaven and whoosh, devil swept right in and got him. Jesus isn't concerned about that. He knows if you put your faith and hope in Him, it's a done deal. It's sealed. Nothing can snatch you from His hand. Does that make sense? If we have that faith, then what can we add to that? How can we grow that? What can we believe for? So in 2009, where are you going to stretch in your life? What are you, what is God putting in your heart to do, but you're not at that level yet where you can believe God for that? When we're talking about growing in faith, that's what we say. We say phrases like that. Can you believe God for this? Can you believe, you know, is it in His Word and has He put it in your heart to do? And can He do it? He can handle it. But we've got to grow our faith to that point. We've got to add to our faith. We've got to build it up. We've got to nurture it. And the way we do that is we take risks. We start believing that really, God, you really can do it. You really can. And you know how else we do that? Listen to this. Everyone give me your attention again. Ed and Renee stood here this morning and they told a testimony about God. Guess what that did to your faith? It grew it. It grew it. It built it up. You need to be around people that God's doing things in. Not just saying if someone's not, just leave them. But I'm just saying, surround yourself. Get testimonies. Listen to stuff. And believe that if it happened for them, it's going to happen for me. Amen? Because that's how cool God is. Okay. So your faith should be growing. So can I believe God for more this year than I could last year? You know, if we're getting to the end of the month and, you know, and I'm $5 short and last year I freaked out, but I maybe believed God could squeeze that out and He did. And I'm like, woohoo, this year, could I believe Him for 10? You know, if we happen to be, could He really come through for that? Or if last year, I believed, I had a hangnail. Jesus, could you heal it? And it just, healed up kind of more faster than it should. This year, if I've got a tendon that's bothering me, do you see what I'm saying? Do you get the progression? Can we take what God has done in our lives, build upon that, and grow more? We should be growing. We should be getting better at this Christian thing. God should be having more of us, and we should be having more of Him. And we go through different stuff. We'll always look different, but we should be handling it differently. We should be growing. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're just about done. 1 Peter chapter 2. Don't you ever believe a preacher when he says that. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 2. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. That you may grow up. And remember, we talked about, you won't be fully grown until you're with Jesus. So we're supposed to be craving the things of God. Craving His Word. Craving messages. Craving encouragement. Craving love. Craving hope. See? I lied to you. I missed one. I knew that shouldn't be the last one. You should be growing in your salvation. Turn back to 2 Thessalonians. This will be the last one of these. 2 Thessalonians. This is an important one. We don't want to miss this one. This may be one of the most important ones. You should be growing. You should be growing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse number 3, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. We already talked about that one. Your faith is growing more and more. And the love everyone has, everyone of you has for each other is what? Increasing. You're different than you were last year at this point in your life, because you're more willing to overlook an offense from one of your Christian brothers and sisters, because they probably did it without even intending it. You're grown more in love this year, because agape love, God love, here's the little phrase that we teach the teenagers, love equals give. Love equals give. It's sacrificial. You're more willing to give up something of yours for them. Not just talking about material things, but you're willing to sacrifice some agonizing prayers for them. You're willing to sacrifice a meal to be with them or share with them. You're willing, you're more willing to do those things than you were last year. Not because the people receiving it have changed, but because you've changed. Your love is greater. Not because they're more deserving of it. That should never be the issue. But Christ in us wants to love people. That's what He does. God is love. That's all He wants to do, is sacrifice and love and give. How much more of your life are you giving over to that? Are you loving more this year than you were last year? Can you go through your week and think, okay, what have I... Not a checklist to make myself feel good. That's not what we're talking about. Please understand that. This isn't paying penance and doing what's, you know what I'm saying? It's, am I thriving as a Christian? Am I being vibrant and full of life? Do people want what's inside of me? If the answer is no, it's because I'm not growing. Listen to this. If people don't want what's inside of you, if people don't want the Christ that's living inside of you, it's because I'm not growing. Because if I've got that loving, rich, life-filled Christ inside of me, people are going to be attracted to that. Because there's hope there. There's healing there. There's life. What? Why wouldn't you want that? And the devil blinds eyes. That's true. But as a whole, there's an attraction to that. And so if that's not the case, then it's because there's some dead stuff there, and people don't want to hang around dead stuff. That's icky. We have a sump pit in our basement, and every once in a while you pull the lid off and there's all these little mices that fall in there, and then they can't make it out. I don't want to be around that. Of course, on the flip side, if the mices were alive, I don't want to be around that either. But you know what I'm saying. I'd be more willing to be around it if it wasn't decrepit and dying. We want to be around life. The Bible also says, you don't have to turn there, something's going to grow in your life. You know what also the Bible says can grow? It says in Hebrews that you can grow weary. It says you shouldn't do that. But you can, you're going to grow one way or another. If you're not growing in life, you're going to grow weary. It says in Hebrews again that you can grow bitter. You're going to grow. How are you going to grow? Don't grow bitter. And in James it says that sin can grow. One little sin seed, if you don't pluck it out, guess what sin does? It grows. It doesn't just stay the same. It grows. In God's kingdom, good, bad, or otherwise, things are intended to grow. Make sense? So we can choose how we're going to grow. Listen, 2009 is promised to be an unprecedented year. As a nation, we have our first African-American president. I think that's awesome. We don't agree spiritually, you know, values-wise, but that we've gotten past, you know, our some of our racial issues. It's unprecedented. The place that we're at with our national debt, it's unprecedented. Some of the things that we're doing in America right now is unprecedented. It's going to be an interesting year. I'm not saying doom and gloom, but listen, things are going to look different in America at the end of 2009 than you've ever known it, okay? It's a little different out there. I don't know what's going to happen. Only God does. But it's different out there. You can't control that. Listen to me. Listen. You can't control what happens out there, but you can control what happens in here. The best thing that you can do to prepare for 2009, good, bad, or otherwise, is to be growing. I should be different a month into 2009, 2 months into 2009, because no matter what happens, if I'm growing, I'm more able to cope with whatever's going on. I'm more able to cope with the blessings, and I'm more able to cope with the challenges. I'm more able to handle it because there's more of Christ in me, and I'm more mature. I don't react as quickly as I used to. I don't do the childish things that I did. I have more faith. I have more knowledge of God. I've seen Him at work. I know more verses so that when I'm attacked, I can handle that. We can do it because we're growing. We're changing. So listen to me, especially older Christians. We can't be the same that we were a year ago because everything else around us is changing. We got to stay growing. We've got to stay full of life. We've got to stay full of Christ. Amen? Does that make sense? All right, let's stand.